Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we all sing together from Psalter 64, the first and the third stanza. The Lord, I lift my soul to thee, O my God. I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. Yea, may none be put to shame, none who wait for thee to bless. But dishonored be their name, who without a cause transgress. Psalter 64, the first and the third stanza. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Epistle of Paul, To the Ephesians, the first chapter. We mentioned to you Ephesians chapter 2, but before we'll read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his glory, calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence among us and his blessing upon his word. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art holy, thou who art that almighty God against whom we have sinned against. And Lord, in thy goodness and in thy mercy and in thy long-suffering patience unto us unworthy sinners, we may again gather in thy house for the second time on thy day to hear what thou hast to say unto us. May it be a wonder to each of us that we are still in the land of the living in the time of grace, and that thou art yet willing to proclaim unto us thy precious word, law and gospel, death in Adam and life in Christ, that thou art still working, that thou art still seeking lost sinners, that thou art still willing to stretch out thy hands unto a rebellious people, and that thou art calling sinners to repent and to true faith. And Lord, as thy word may again be proclaimed tonight, that outward call, Lord, wilt thou accompany it with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that thy word may enter into hearts, that that outward call may become an internal call by thy power, and that dead sinners may be made alive, sinners who have a load of guilt and who have never, ever felt that guilt, that they have sinned against thee, a holy and a just God who can by no means clear the guilty, sinners who have no need of the forgiveness of sins. They know it in their minds that they are sinners, but there's no hunger, no thirst, no longing for reconciliation, no need for the forgiveness of sins. O Lord, we beg thee in thy mercy, remember them and give them life, that sin may become sin, and that they may see that great burden that they have, but also that they may know thee as a holy and just God, and that they need the forgiveness of their sins to be able to stand before thee at the moment of their death, to stand before thee in peace. Lord, we beg thee, work mightily, irresistibly. It's thy work. And Lord, thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Unto whom can we go but unto thee? But Lord, we ask thee also those who have been made alive, who have been taught of their guilt, those who may have come to church tonight into thy house with a burden of sin, with the question in their heart, is there hope for this sinner? Is there a way of forgiveness for this chief of sinners? O Lord, we beg thee that thou would bless then thy precious word, the precious gospel, that burdened sinners may hear it from thy word, from thy mouth, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou art a God who delighteth in mercy, that thou art a God in whom there's an abundance of forgiveness, that in thee is the riches of grace, also of the forgiveness of sin, because of thy dear Son, because of his work, because of his merits. O Lord, wilt thou lead then and guide and instruct, strip us of everything of self, and lead us to that only foundation, that only way of reconciliation and forgiveness of sins through thy dear Son. O Lord, we beg thee, wilt thou teach thy dear sheep and the little lambs the necessity of the forgiveness, but also the necessity of that precious blood of the Lamb, that it's only through the blood that they can receive forgiveness of sins. Lord, thy people so often can be so satisfied with the little that they receive, that they may have that hope, that expectation, and a Savior who came to this world. But Lord, wilt thou lead them further, strip them of all self-righteousnesses, and that they in themselves may come to an end, that they must be just, but they cannot be just, that they must be forgiven to be reconciled with thee, a holy God, and that they can find no way except in thee and in that way that thou hast proclaimed through thy word. Lord, wilt thou lead them further in the mysteries of that precious faith and of that precious gospel that is in thee through thy Son. Work mightily by thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Teach us of our need of justification and also of sanctification. Teach us of that need that payment must be made for our sins, and show us that there is no payment in anything of ourselves, in nothing through the way of the law, but lead us. Use the law as a schoolmaster to bring us unto thy dear Son, that precious Savior, the Lamb of God, that we may be justified by faith through him, by his blood. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy people may not only hear it tonight, but may they, by the power of the Holy Spirit, experience it in their heart, a little taste of the forgiveness of their sins. Oh, what joy there would be, what peace there would be. Lord, we ask thee then for the glory of thy name, because it will return unto thee. Lord, we ask thee then for thy presence. Come with thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we plead upon thy own promise that thou hast said in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, thou art faithful. Thou art that faithful Almighty God. And there's no reason in us, because we are sinful. We're polluted. We're polluted office bearers. We're a polluted congregation. Fathers, mothers, children, older ones, younger ones, singles. We're all sinful. We're all polluted. We only deserve thy wrath, Lord. But in thy wrath, remember mercy. We pray and ask thee to give us a good hour in thy house tonight, in thy favor, with thy presence, with thy work of the Holy Spirit. Help each one to listen. Open our spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice. Enlighten our spiritually darkened minds by sin and evil to understand our great need of forgiveness, but also that way of forgiveness. And give, Lord, also hearts to receive, to embrace, to believe, Lord. Faith is a gift of thee. We can only produce unbelief, but we beg thee, as we read in thy word, that faith is a gift of God. We beg thee then for that true saving faith, for poor needy sinners, that they believe who they are, but also believe who thou art through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we lay the whole congregation before thee. Remember each one in their spiritual state and needs and cares. We ask thee, Lord, to remember then also especially the great need in our denomination. So many congregations do not have an under-shepherd. There's so many pulpits that do not have an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily, irresistibly, and that men who have thy grace may be called by thee, and that they must go forward, and that thou would open the way, open the doors, and that in the coming year, Lord, we may rejoice in thy mercy and the wonders of thy works. Leave us not, Lord, pass us not by, but look upon us through thy Son, Jesus Christ. And we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, but also for the coming generations. Lord, remember also him, the new church worker, who is getting prepared to go to Bolivia. Help him, his wife, and their family. Lord, prepare them that at the time they may be sent out. Help them in all the preparations, and in this time may they experience the nearness and the help of the Lord. Remember thy covenant people, Lord, the Jews, the Israelites. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, as thou hast promised, that there will come a time that there will be a wonderful working among them, that that veil will be taken away from their eyes, and that they may see, of whom we may read in the New Testament, of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, fulfill thy own promise also unto them. Remember the government of this nation, the prime minister, and all those whom thou hast called to rule over us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Convert them unto thee. Remember those who speak out and who stand to speak against the great sins of this nation, especially of abortion. Help them, uphold them, Lord. It's a righteous cause. Oh, we beg thee that in this nation there may be respect for life, for from conception until natural death. Lord, remember us as families. Help us, Lord, to live in love, but also that our homes may be little worship services, that thy word may be opened. Help us as fathers to be priests in our home, to be prophets, to be kings, to rule our families in the fear of the Lord, and that thou would give a blessing upon thy word, that thou will bless the means of grace that we may use in our homes. Lord, we ask that thou would remember also the school and the education of our children at school or at home, that thou would bless it, but especially not only that our children will be prepared to live in this world, but also especially bless thy word, that they may be prepared to leave this world, that they may have thy grace, that they may have a new heart, that they may have the fear of the Lord. Lord, provide for the school, care for the board, the teachers, the whole staff. Provide teachers for the future, Lord, especially provide teachers who have the fear of the Lord in their hearts. We ask, Lord, that thou would remember also the persecuted church. Uphold them, strengthen them, comfort them. And Lord, thou hast said that we may bring all our cares and needs unto thee. And may we ask thee as a congregation, as we have a desire also to give an expansion to this church building, that there may be room for more to come to hear thy word. And Lord, thou knowest the plans, thou knowest the needs, the necessary permits that we need. Oh, we ask thee, Lord, that thou would give opening. Thou hast said in thy word that the king's heart is in thy hand, and thou could turn it whithersoever thou would have it him to go. May we ask thee, then, open the way. Give hearts to acknowledge and to give permission to receive what is necessary, that in the future also there may be a building here that is suitable for the entire congregation. Lord, we're unworthy of all thy blessings, of all thy mercies, because we are sinful, because we are polluted and filthy. But may we ask thee, Lord, all these things. And Lord, we pray upon him who sits at thy right hand. Help thy servant tonight, the sinner on the pulpit. Be with his mouth, be with his heart, be with his mind. And give him the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word clearly, simply, according to the meaning of the Spirit. Give much prayer. And remember the whole congregation. Lord, we beg thee and ask thee in the forgiveness of our many sins. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 140, all four stanzas. God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within, cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. Psalter 140, all stanzas, and the church collections are for the church and for the insight into. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, every Sunday we confess with the 12 articles of our Christian faith, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And we read in Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. May I ask you, how did you come to church tonight? Did you come with a burden of sin? Did you come with the question, is there hope for such a sinner as me, for such a vile one, for such a filthy sinner? Is there hope for such a one who has offended a holy and just and righteous God? Is there hope? Is there forgiveness? Yes, there is forgiveness in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Holy Spirit apply that message of forgiveness to sinners who feel so absolutely unworthy, guilty, and who long for the forgiveness of their sins. Listen to what we read in Psalm 130, verse 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. There is forgiveness of sins in God. And listen also what the prophet Micah writes, what he says on behalf of his sender in Micah 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. How can a just and holy God forgive sins? Why is there the forgiveness of sins? God the Father, by grace, upon the merits of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, chooses, adopts, seeks, regenerates, and forgives sinners. We read that in the chapter which was read to you. But especially what I think of what we read in Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we read in Matthew 6, verse 12. And we read further in that chapter in verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Tonight, we have come to the fifth petition. The Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray. What is the fifth petition? Well, let's read that together from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 51, question and answer 126, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 86. Lord's Day 51, question and answer 126. What is the fifth petition? The answer: and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor the depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel the evidence of thy grace in us, that is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. And so in connection with the fifth petition, And what we read in Ephesians 1 verse 7 and what we read in the answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, our theme tonight will be the fifth petition. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Five short points. Five aspects about the forgiveness of sins, of what we read in God's Word and what we read also in the Heidelberg Catechism. First, what should be our first point tonight, congregation? First, our great need for forgiveness. Do you know your great need? You say, yes, I know it here, but do you know it here? Has it become a reality? Has sin become a burden? Is there a great need for the forgiveness of your sins? Second, the only foundation of forgiveness. What is the only foundation of forgiveness? Third, the only way of forgiveness. There's an only way. Is it by works? No, it's by faith. By faith in whom? So the only way of forgiveness. And fourth, the source of forgiveness. What is the source of forgiveness? What does it all flow from? Well, we read in Ephesians 1 verse 7, the riches of his grace. And last, the fruit of forgiveness. What is the fruit of those who experience or taste something of the forgiveness of sins? There's fruits. There's love to God, but it's also love to your neighbor. There's a willingness to forgive others. And so, the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. First, the great need for forgiveness. Second, the foundation for forgiveness. Third, the only way of forgiveness. Fourth, the source of forgiveness. And last, the fruit of forgiveness. Congregation, my friend, may I ask you, do you need the forgiveness of your sins? If I asked you to write on a piece of paper, which no one else could see, only you know, would see it and know, and I asked you to write, what is your greatest need? What would you write down? Children? Teenagers? Older ones? What would you write on that piece of paper? Would you write, I need the forgiveness of my sins? Or would you have something else written under? I would like to have this. I need my health. I need family problems solved. I need this in my life, etc., etc. My friend, the greatest need for you and for me is the forgiveness of our sins. Some say the greatest blessing is if you can be old and have a healthy body and a healthy mind. Yes, that is a blessing. It's a blessing to have a healthy body. But think about this. If you have a healthy body, but a sick, sin soul, how does that help you? But if you have a sick body and a healthy soul, that's the greatest blessing, is it not? It is better to have a sick body and to have a healthy soul by God's grace than to have a sick soul and to have a healthy body. My friend, what is your need? Did you come here tonight with a need in your soul? A need for the forgiveness of your sins? In Ephesians 2, we read two words in that verse that teach us of our need of the forgiveness of sins. Or teach us of our need, the forgiveness of sin and redemption. Those two things we need. In the Bible, there is many words to describe sin. But transgressions is a word, or trespasses is a word also to describe sin. And we need our trespasses to be forgiven. What is transgressions? It's to willfully disobey God. And you and I have willfully disobeyed God, not only in paradise, but every sin that we commit against God is a trespass, is a transgression, and we willfully sin against God. We need our sins forgiven. Sin is rebellion against God, the Almighty God. We turned our backs on God. We rebelled against God. We have sinned against God. We have original sin, but we also have our actual sins. We sin against His word. We sin against His law. We sin against the gospel. We are sinners, and we need our sins forgiven. Our sins, our rebellions, our iniquities, our transgressions against God causes a reaction. What does it cause in God? God is God. He's too pure to look upon sin. And you and I are sin. We think of the flood. Those people were so wicked. God in His wrath poured out a flood. We think of Sodom and Gomorrah. God poured out His wrath. But think of the cross. Dare we see what sin is? Yes, it also proclaims love, but there we see what sin is and our great need of the forgiveness of our sins. That's your greatest need. And maybe you know it here, but I hope tonight it comes here, that it becomes real. Because if our sins are not forgiven, we cannot stand before God in peace. And we will all stand before God at the moment of our death or when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And if your sins are not forgiven, my friend, there's only one answer. And what will be the answer? Depart. You will forever be lost. Forever in hell. Romans says the wages of sin is death. That's not only physical death, but it also speaks of eternal death, of eternal condemnation. My friends, we are on a way to a never-ending eternity. And by nature, we are on a way to eternal condemnation. Unless by God's grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. You need your sins forgiven. Is that your greatest need? I need my sins forgiven. I need my sins forgiven. We also read of that word redemption. Redemption in Isaiah or in Ephesians 1 verse 7. And that means that someone makes a payment for someone who's under bondage, and that person is released. And by our fall in Adam, we have all willfully placed ourselves under the bondage of sin, Satan. And we have no power to redeem ourselves. So we need the forgiveness of our sins, and we need redemption. These two words, sin and redemption, teach us that we are not only guilty sinners before God and we need forgiveness, but also that we are in bondage and we need to be redeemed. We need our sins forgiven and we need to be redeemed. My friend, your sins must be forgiven. Every single one of us is totally corrupt and polluted. No external reformation. No changing this in our life and changing this. Yes, we need to cut off all sin. But it's not the way of forgiveness. You need to be justified. You need to be sanctified. And this is only possible through Jesus Christ. You need to be pardoned, forgiven of all your sins, and cleansed from your pollution. You need to be made pure and right with God. You need your sins of the past, the sins of your youth, the sins as a teenager, the sins as an adult, the sins of today, the sins of tomorrow, the sins of the future. We need all our sins forgiven. Is the need of the forgiveness of your sin your greatest burden? Is it? Or is it only theory, doctrine, listening to facts? Or is it your heart? Do you need the forgiveness of sin? It's a reality for all of us, no exceptions, whoever you are. From the youngest to the oldest, we all need. The Bible tells us, no, God tells us that we need the forgiveness of our sins. The forgiveness of original sin, which we inherited from Adam. But we also need the sins are actual sins of every sin that you do in thought, in word, in deed. All the things that we did and we should not have done. All the things also that we should not have done and do. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins as children. Children, you need your sins forgiven. Sins as children disobeying our parents. Teenagers, young people, you need your sins forgiven. We need sins forgiven of living as a couple. We need sins forgiven as a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a teacher, an office bearer, elder, deacon, whoever we all need our sins forgiven. We all need to be redeemed. And Jesus Christ teaches us. He teaches us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." My friend, I hope you hear it. You need your sins forgiven. But also God's children, those little lambs, the sheep, every single true believer in Jesus Christ also daily sins, and we need our daily sins forgiven. We need to daily be cleansed in that all-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be covered with His righteousness. We read in Psalm 25, verse 11, "For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Is that your prayer? Is that what you have learned about yourself? To plead, because there's no other foundation to plead upon but for Thy name's sake, Lord. There's nothing in me. My sin is great. Pardon my iniquity. And so we come to the end of our first thought, the need of the forgiveness of sins. But what is the foundation? What is the foundation of the forgiveness of sins? Well, our second thought, the only foundation of forgiveness. Jesus Christ taught to pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Congregation, do you ask, is there a way of forgiveness? Is that your question? Is your question, what is the foundation of forgiveness? You cannot find any foundation in yourself or in anything. What do we read in the Heidelberg Catechism? What is the foundation? Well, in the answer, we read, "Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor the depravity which always cleaves to us." Did you hear it? What is the only foundation of the forgiveness of sins? We read it also in Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." Lambs, sheep, you need blood. You need the blood of the Lamb of God. You need your sins forgiven, but it's only by the blood. Whose blood? The blood of the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? That blessed servant, that servant in whom God delighted in, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and His blood is the only foundation for the forgiveness of sins. That blood of the precious Lamb of God that flowed from His wounds on that precious cross, that is the only way. Everything else is absolutely insufficient, inadequate. Your tears, your prayers, your zeal, everything, it's insufficient. There's only one foundation, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you need the forgiveness? Do you need the blood, my friend? Do you need the blood, little lambs, sheep of the Good Shepherd? Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And that is why Paul wrote Ephesians 1, verse 7, but he repeated himself also in Colossians 1, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." In the New Testament, we read of the blood of Jesus Christ and we read of the forgiveness of sins. These are connected, because no blood, no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But in that blood, through that blood, that precious blood of Jesus Christ, there is the forgiveness of sins for the chiefest, for the vilest of sinners. Blood signifies life. Who likes to see blood? When somebody's wounded and you see blood flowing, some people faint. They don't want to see it because it speaks of life. That person is losing his life. And God said the wages of sin is death. The only payment is life, a sacrifice. God's justice is infinite, and there must be infinite payment because he's an infinite God, and there's infinite wrath. And who? What sacrifice can appease the wrath of an almighty, infinite, holy God? There's only one. There's only one, and that's the Lamb of God. That's his own dear son that he was pleased to bruise and to put to death. The sword of God's justice, which should have fell on your head and my head, which should have slayed us, fell upon his own son. God's justice, which should have eternally condemned us, fell upon his son. Slayed his own son, and the blood flowed, and through that precious blood of Emmanuel, of Jesus Christ, there is the forgiveness of sins. Why did God have to put to death his own son? Was there not another way that there is, could be, the forgiveness of sins? Could not God just forgive sins? Why did he have to put to death his own dear beloved son? God is God. God is infinitely just, and payment must be made. God demands that he who has sinned must pay. And those whom he has chosen, his beloved, have nothing to pay. And therefore, in his love, he sent his own son, not only to be born, but also to die and to shed his blood. Because that is the only way that God could be just and justify sinners. That blood opened the way. That precious blood of Jesus Christ, he made the payment. And because of him, there is the forgiveness of sins. That's the only foundation. But what a lesson to learn. No foundation in self. Nothing in my prayers. Nothing in all my zeal. Nothing in all my tears. That it's only in him. And what a work the Lord needs to do in us. To strip us of everything. That we would only have that hope and that hunger and that thirst for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And for that Lamb of God. Lambs, sheep, how is it in your soul today? How is it? Have you come to an end of all hopes of ever finding reconciliation with the holy, infinite God? And have you seen? No, I should start. Have you heard through the word of God? Because faith cometh by hearing. Have you heard it that there is a way? There is a way for a just and holy God to justify, to forgive sinners. Open your Bibles, please. We will read some verses from Romans 3, verse 24 through 26. Romans 3, verse 24 through 26. Romans 3, 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The precious gospel is that Jesus Christ came to stand in the place of his guilty sheep, in the place of guilty sinners that have nothing to pay, and that he gave himself to make that payment. Sheep, lambs, dear children of God, for you to be forgiven, for you to be redeemed, God had to send his only Son, and Jesus Christ had to come on this earth. He had to fulfill the law, but he also had to die. He had to suffer in soul and in body. He had to bear all the wrath of God, and he did this willingly. He did this voluntarily. He said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I give it." He gave it with love. He gave it so that his Father could forgive his dear beloved sheep, lost sinners, guilty sinners, wretched sinners, children of God, sheep of the Good Shepherd, you who truly believe in Jesus Christ with the grace of the gift of faith, you are redeemed with the most precious fluid that ever flowed upon this earth. What is the most precious fluid that ever dripped upon this earth, children? The blood of the Lamb of God when he was on the cross. That blood flowed from his wounds, of those thorns, through his hands, through his feet, and through his sides. Listen, 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." This is the only foundation for the forgiveness of sins. We need our sins forgiven, and the only foundation is in Jesus Christ and through his blood. But may I ask you, you've heard about the blood, I'm certain, many, many times. But what does the blood of Jesus Christ speak to you? Is there a need not only for the forgiveness, but is there a need for his blood, that you may be justified before a holy, infinite God? Has the blood of Jesus Christ become necessary for your soul? My friend, you who are still dead in sins and trespasses, you are in the most horrible situation. Maybe you're sitting here feeling healthy. Maybe you have many blessings, no needs, richly blessed. And yet, if you are still in the state of unbelief, dead in sins and trespasses, you are in the most horrible situation that I could ever picture. Because all your sins are on your account yet. And you are under the infinite wrath of God already. And if this does not change by God's grace, you will forever be condemned. Think about this, my friend. I say with love for your soul, and may it become real, may it become a need. I need my sins forgiven. That the call of the gospel, the preaching, may come into your heart, that you may hear it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ calls. Yes, he does. He calls all who hear to repent and to believe. And will you just continue in your sin? Go home and maybe say, "It was nice to hear," but tomorrow you wake up and you carry on with your life, following the lusts of your flesh? What wickedness, what unbelief, unbelief to who you are, unbelief of your need, unbelief against the gospel, and you call God a liar, as we read in 1 John 5. I pray that by God's grace, that you may be awakened, you who are still dead in sins and trespasses, and that you may be taught of your sin, and that you may be taught of the great need of the forgiveness of your sins, and that you may hear through the word of the only way, and that you may seek to be restored, to be reconciled, to be forgiven in the only foundation that is in Jesus Christ. The disciples of the Lord Jesus heard the Lord Jesus pray. And he finished praying, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he taught them to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," and then all those petitions, "and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And Paul wrote in Ephesians 1 verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." And every Sunday night we hear it, the elder reads, the forgiveness of sins. What is the forgiveness of sins? If somebody asked you, "Could you explain to me what is the forgiveness of sins?" what would you answer? There's a beautiful answer in the Heidelberg Catechism on page 49. Question and answer 56. What do we believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? That God, for the sake of Jesus Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, and that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. The forgiveness of sins means that I come before the tribunal of God, that I come before the holy countenance of God, and that I learn that I am a condemned sinner, a guilty sinner, and that the Almighty God, that judge of heaven and earth, demands payment, and he demands perfection. Both payment and perfection. And you need both. You need a payment, you need the forgiveness, and you need perfection. You need to be justified, and you need to be sanctified. And God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And both things no sinner has. Both things no recipient of grace has of their self. No sheep of the good shepherd have this. And they learn this. I'm a sinner. And they learn they must pay. Sin must be paid for. And they learn they must be perfect. And they understand by the teaching. They learn, they know, they confess, they surrender, they believe it with their whole heart. I am guilty. I have sinned. And I have nothing to pay with. They become bankrupt, lost. And they desire in their heart, by God's grace, to live a life, to serve him, to live holy. But they confess, "I keep sinning and sinning and sinning in my thoughts, in my words, and in my deeds." And they confess unto the Lord, "My sin keeps piling up. I have a mountain. Lord, redeem me. Lord, save me." There's only hope. In whom? There's only hope in God, in a triune God, in God the Father, in God the Son, in God the Holy Spirit. It's only through Jesus Christ, through him. He is the only foundation. And God, God the Father, that infinite, holy, just God, upon the payment of his dear Son, and upon his perfect obedience, is satisfied. And he can forgive sins through his Son. His Son. He saw his sacrifice and he was satisfied. He heard his Son say, "It's finished." And he was satisfied. And that Father arms are opened to all those who are born again, who truly repent and flee unto his Son. He can embrace them as sons through his Son. And they expect because of self, because of their guilt, because of their sin, and because of who they remain to be, that there's only one place that they belong, in the pit, eternally under the wrath. But then to hear through the word, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. Congregation, there's a ransom. That ransom has been paid with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father, he found a ransom. He found it in his Son. And God the Son could present his ransom to the Father. And he says, behold my Son. As you heard this morning, behold my servant. It's in him. But maybe now you ask. It's nice to hear those precious truths. But what is the way? What is the way, Pastor? I know I need it. I've heard the foundation. But how can I receive it? I need it. I need it for my own soul. I need my sins forgiven. Well, this leads to the next thought. The only way of forgiveness. We read in Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Maybe you ask, how can I receive the forgiveness? How can I be redeemed? I'm so sinful, I'm so wicked, I'm so polluted, I have such a mountain of sin. If someone came and asked you, how can I receive it? How can those riches of Jesus Christ, that ransom that he has, that I have nothing to pay, but he paid, how can that become mine? What would your answer be? What is the answer? Through faith. Through true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith connects a polluted, a hell-worthy, a wretched sinner to that glorious, precious, beloved, chiefest among thousands, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith connects, and all that Christ has merited is imputed, given to that sinner. And all that sinner of all his sin was laid on him. That interchange, that precious interchange, oh, to experience. The forgiveness of sins is only by faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit renews sinners. He teaches them of their sins. He teaches of the need of forgiveness. But he also is that comforter that leads guilty, lost, hell-worthy sinners who have nothing to reveal to them through the word, through the gospel, that precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit works that faith that no man has. He works that faith through the hearing of the word, of hearing, not only of the law, that I am sin, but also of the gospel of that precious Lamb, Jesus Christ. And he, so to speak, takes that sinner and leads him to that Savior. And that sinner falls at his feet, believing who he is, that I'm sin, and that I've nothing good in me, that I still even sin so willingly against all the knowledge I have, and that I'm just a wretch. But he brings that polluted, wretched sinner to that Savior, so to speak, drawing him, leading him, taking by the hand, leading to that rock. And he's at his feet looking up to that only Savior, like that woman that came to him and said, if I may but touch the hem of the garment, I shall be made whole. She had trust, she had faith in that Savior of whom she heard. And what they hear draws them to him. And in him is the forgiveness of sins. It's in Jesus Christ and God's appointed way for a sinner to be connected to his precious Son, his servant, is by the gift of faith. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does faith save you? Do God's people put faith in their faith? No. They don't put faith in their faith. Faith connects them as that poor beggar's empty hand to that rich, precious Savior. And their faith is not just a historical faith. It's not just in God in general. No, it's focused. It becomes focused by the blessing of the Holy Spirit on a person. It's focused upon God's Son. It's focused upon that mediator, focused upon the Lamb of God, upon Jesus Christ. He becomes their life. He becomes their everything. He becomes their only way of forgiveness of sins. Oh, that precious gift of that grace of faith that connects a hell-worthy sinner to that rich Savior. Luther said, faith is the ring which clasps the diamond Jesus Christ. Friends, do you need faith? Do you need faith? Do you need that true saving faith that connects you to that rich Savior? Must I tell you tonight that you need to work that faith in your own hearts? No, I must not. But I must tell you that there's an almighty God and that He has the gift of grace, of faith. You may cry to Him. You may ask me, Lord, give me that faith that I do not have. I only have unbelief. I only have sin. Lord, give me the gift of faith to believe who I am, to believe who Thou art, but also to believe the precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you say, I have a mountain of sin? I've been so wicked. I've been so desperately wicked. I have sins as black as hell, sins of youth, sin as an adult, sin as a father, sin as a mother, sin as children, sin as a teenager. I may tell you tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses from some. No, it cleanses from all sin. All sin. And remember those Pharisees? They were murmuring and complaining because Jesus Christ received sinners. But that's the best news. That's the good news. And children, you know that parable of the prodigal son. What was the whole point that Jesus was making? His point was and is that God receives repenting and returning sinners who confess, I have sinned against thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He receives them as sons through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, I may point you to that only foundation, that blood of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that you may hear it and that it may come into your heart and that there may be hope in Him, in the Lamb, but also that you may taste it, maybe for the first time, a taste of the forgiveness of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. What do we read in Psalm 86, verse 5 and 15? For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. The only way of forgiveness is through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's many texts that I'd like to quote tonight, but I will quote one. Listen, lamb, sheep, you who have true saving faith in the precious Lord Jesus Christ, listen. And may the Lord apply it to your heart. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. What a wonder that almighty, infinite, holy God, he blots it out. He erases it. He blots it out. How? Through the blood of his Son. My friend, is there a need for the forgiveness of sins? May I ask you, where are you looking? Where are you searching? Where are you seeking for the forgiveness of your sins? Seek it only in the very God against whom you have sinned. Seek it in through his Son, by faith in his Son, because in him there is the forgiveness. Let's sing about it from Psalter 362, all three stanzas. Psalter 362, 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou should mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 362, all three stanzas. the source of forgiveness. A few words on this point. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What is the source? The riches of God's grace. And all those who experience a taste, something, or the forgiveness of sins, credit it all. It's all of God's grace. I received it undeserved. I was unworthy. But it's all of God's mercy, all of his grace. It's all from him. It's nothing in self. It all comes from him. God is the source of the forgiveness of sins, the riches of his grace. But then to taste something of it, there will be fruits. What fruits? Love. Love to God, that the almighty, holy, infinite holy God that I have sinned against, that he has forgiven me my sins. Oh, to taste something of that, to experience that it will break the heart and love will flow out unto him. And if there's no love, no awe, no reverence, no longing to serve him, no longing to live for his honor, to his will, for his honor, and for the glory, then we must question whether we know anything or we have tasted anything of the forgiveness of sins. In Tarija, I met some people. They say that when you're forgiven of your sins, then you're free from the law and you can live how you want. We're free from the law. And they confess to be Christians. They confess that they know their sins are forgiven and they live against God's law because they say we're free from God's law. That's impossible. Impossible. Because when there's love for the Lord and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to taste something of his grace and the riches of the forgiveness of his sins, then there's a deep, profound love. And then they love. They long to keep his commandments. His commandments aren't grievous, but it's a way to express love to God. And so what is the fruit? First, love to God for his great grace for such a great sinner. And this love leads to sacrificing, to giving your life to him. I think of that woman who was a great sinner who came into that place where Jesus was eating. And what did she do? Everything she did spoke of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. She washed his feet with her tears. Those tears that flowed because of the love for that lamb, because of that hope in him. And she used her hair to dry his feet. And she broke that most expensive alabaster box of ointment. She gave everything. She poured it on him. It was love upon love. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? She loved much. She loved him greatly. Why? Because those who have their sins forgiven, which are great, love much. They love him deeply. They love him much. And they find that their lives is so short in loving him according to what he's so worthy of. But they also, another fruit of receiving the forgiveness of a hope or the taste, they can forgive others. As we read in the Heidelberg Catechism, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Lambs, sheep, do you have a hope? Have you tasted something of the forgiveness of sins? Do you live in love to others who offend you? Oh, may we know of our great need of the forgiveness of sins. And may we learn of the only foundation of sins, the only way through faith, and that source that is through the riches of the grace of God. But that we also may, in our lives, children of God, live with this fruit of love to God in holiness, more sanctification, mortify the flesh, live in holiness, in love to God. He's worthy that you sacrifice everything to Him, but also that you live in love with others. Would it not be strange if I forgave you a debt of $1 million and you turn around and accuse someone who only owed you $5 and you say, pay me? Those who receive the forgiveness of sin are forgiven so much. An abundant of forgiveness is in Him. His grace abounds above all sin. And then to taste that, love should flow to Him, but also to others. Children of God, dear sheep, dear lambs of the Good Shepherd, the Lord wants you to hear it tonight. There is forgiveness. Congregation, you all may hear it. But He especially wants His dear children, as He had His servant John write in the epistle. Listen, 1 John 2 verse 12. I write unto you, little children, children of God, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I hope you don't only hear it, but that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that message may be applied to your heart. Because then you will go home with joy. With joy. I think of that paralytic man that was laid at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then later He healed him. And that man could go home. He could walk maybe for the first time. How do you think he went home? I think he went home not only rejoicing because he could walk, but that he could go home knowing, hearing from the mouth of Jesus Christ, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Maybe he repeated it to himself as he was walking, my sins are forgiven, my sins are forgiven. No rest, Church of God, until you may know it yourself. For His glory, because it will return glory to Him. Because when you taste something of this, then your heart will break, and our life then longs to glorify Him and Him alone, and there'll be love for our neighbor. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may we beg thee, richly bless thy word. Lord, thou hast said it's not by power nor by might, but by thy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, O Holy Spirit, be the after preacher. Bless it to hearts, awake and renew. Give life, but also lead to thyself, to that precious Lamb with whom there is the forgiveness of sins. Lord, remember us all in this week. May we not let the birds of prey pluck away at the seeds of thy word that we heard today in thy house, but may we meditate it upon it in this week. Remember us as a consistory as we hope to meet. On Tuesday evening, we beg thee, Lord, guide us, lead us by thy word and spirit, and help us all in all our different responsibilities as children, teenagers, adults, older ones, and that we may in this week consider, I need my sins forgiven. I am a sinner. And may we then be brought to that place at thy feet as beggars, guilty beggars, and that we may hear through thy word, by thy Spirit, my Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Lord, we ask this for thy glory and for our eternal salvation. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now close with singing from Psalter 280. Psalter 280. And we will only sing 1 and 4. 1 and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me bless his name. And stanzas 4. As the heavens are high above the earth, great his love to us has proved. Far as the east from west is distant, he has all our sins removed. 280, stanzas 1 and 4. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.